So you're driving down the street and you get hit with this fear thing about the doctor's report or about some issue at work. But instead of yielding to the fear, you take the stuff that's been thrown at you, you use it as fuel, and you begin to sing the new song that actually brings about the new day. Because in that new song, God himself comes and he destroys the powers that have been set against you for your destruction. Thank you. Thanks. Well, I love you too. We'll just still got to do that group hug one of these days. An old guy was working out at the gym. when he spotted a young lady who walked in, and he asked his trainer standing next to him, "What machine should I use to impress that girl over there?" The trainer looked at him up and down and said, "I'd recommend the ATM machine in the lobby." Yeah. That's funny. Somebody talked this week about, it's in Mark chapter 6, where Jesus had his disciples and he wanted to take them to a deserted place. And if I were to water my yard and there was water all over the place, you would come look at it and say, "It's been watered because I put water on it." So what is a deserted place? It has desserts. Do you not see that in the word? I'm pretty sure that's exactly what the scripture says. It's a deserted place. Amen. I'm sticking with it. That's my interpretation right there. Open your Bibles to Isaiah. That's the Revised Passion Translation right there. I'll have to tell Brian tonight when he comes. Open your Bibles to to Isaiah 42. I was blessed this morning with the passage that Eric opened the meeting up with, and while it's not verbatim in this lesson, it does help to set the stage. Eric read this morning out of Psalms 24, where there's the question, "Who is this King of Glory?" And the statement that's made is, "Lift up your heads, O you gates, and the King of Glory will come in." Lift up your heads, O you gates. It's a strange metaphor because, you know, we don't see heads on top of gates. And yet there's this unusual picture. And it's actually, you can't always use the same wording or the same subject throughout Scripture. It doesn't always, sometimes you actually bend the real intention of Scripture. But I think, I really think this is a consistent theme throughout Scripture. So I'm going to play off it for a moment. It says, "Lift up your heads, O you gates." In Isaiah 60, gates were praise. In Revelation, the gates were made out of pearls. Pearls are formed through irritation. The gates of praise are formed in our life when we go against circumstances and glorify Jesus anyway. Something is shaped in us. So here's this unusual picture. It says, "Lift up your heads." The lifting of the head has everything in the world to do with our countenance. The Bible says he's the glory and the lifter of our head. Lifting of the head is not to give us some kind of a psychological edge. Lifting of the head changes what we see. Jesus wanted his disciples to see the harvest fields. And so he told them, "Lift up your eyes and see. The fields are white under harvest." Lift up, look up before you look down, and you'll see things differently. There's something about changing the countenance, lifting our heads, lifting our, it's a look of anticipation where we set our eyes on the Lord, and there's something about setting the eyes of our heart on heavenly things in attitude, in countenance, in conduct. So here's this unusual passage. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and the King of Glory will come in. The word gate, the subject of gate, I should say, in the Psalms, God says, the gates of Zion are his eternal dwelling place. He lives in a gate. That makes no sense unless you see gate as praise, and he inhabits the praises of his people. Do you see the connections here? So this invitation is like this. Lift up your countenance before you get the answer you need. You're not lifting your countenance because you got the breakthrough. You're lifting your countenance, and you're giving him thanks and praise. In spite of circumstances, you're willing to let the gate be formed in you that says, I will praise him continuously, regardless of circumstances. And so we lift up the countenance as a lifestyle of anticipation of grace. And in that place, we give him praise. And what does it say? That is the gate that he comes through. Anyone can lift the head after the King of Glory has come. Now, I understand he's the merciful one. He is the one who comes and he wipes away our tears. He comes and he brings comfort. He brings healing to the broken. That's the merciful God that comes to serve. But in this passage, he comes as the King of Glory. And when he shows up as the King of Glory, he comes as the triumphant one. He doesn't come to minister to the broken toenail. He doesn't come to fix the disappointment. He comes because victory is established and is at hand. And so when we see this, lift up your heads, O you gates. He's the glory, he's the lifter of my head. In that context, regardless of circumstances, I will give him praise. In fact, I will use the circumstances to fuel my praise. And what happens? That becomes the very gate that he comes through as the King of Glory. Now, Isaiah 42 is personally a really, really favorite passage. I've taught on it many times. I think it's been a long, long time, though. It was just in my heart this week, and so I wanted to share with you. So Isaiah 42, we'll start with verse 10, and we're going to read through verse 13. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea, all that is in it, you coastlands, you inhabitants of them, let the wilderness and its city lift up their voices, or their voice, the villages that Kedar inhabits, let the inhabitants of Selah sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains, let them give glory to the Lord and his praise to the coastlands. Now here's God's response. The Lord will go forth like a mighty man. He will stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, aloud, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies. I think it's probably obvious why I love this portion so much, and maybe many of you have it underlined already in your Bible. There's this incredible moment in time where the people of God are exhorted to sing loudly to the Lord. And the result is God himself stirs himself up as a man of war to go forth and to do exploits on our behalf. How many know God and the devil are not at war with each other? The devil doesn't stand a chance. That's not a war. That's not a contest. I mean, the Lord, all he has to do is blink and poof, you know. The devil's a crispy critter. There's no contest. There's no contest there whatsoever. It's not as though that God is perfect good and the devil is perfect evil and there's this yin and yang war. That's not true. God is God, period. The devil and powers of darkness were defeated through a man, Jesus, the Son of God, who became a man and defeated him on our behalf because we missed our chance. That is the truth. But so Jesus came, the Son of Man, and brought an end to the power of death, disease, torment, etc., the powers of darkness. Back to the subject. Here's this great passage of Scripture that says, sing a new song to the Lord. And then he responds in a military fashion and brings about victory on our behalf. I've always been fascinated with this thought that you and I could sit here in the middle of this room and just enjoy the peace of God and just enjoy his presence and not a care in the world. Whatever I brought in is no longer with me. You know, the issues, the baggage, whatever. I'm just here in his presence and I just love him so much and I give him praise and I give him thanks. And all the while, I'm just enjoying his presence while he's just knocking the snot out of the powers of darkness. And when it's all over, he comes back and he calls me a mighty man of war. And I go, when was I in war? Oh, that praise thing you did. It's just, I translated it for you, and I just kicked, you know, the devil around for a while on your behalf. You know, it's I love that picture. It may not do anything for you, but it does a lot for me. Warfare, it makes me nervous that warfare could easily become the reason for people's praise. It cannot be that way. It's just a wonderful side benefit. It's not the reason we give God honor. The reason we give God honor is his worth. That is the reason. It is the entire basis of praise is who he is. Here's this phrase, a sing to the Lord a new song. I love the new songs. I love the songs that our teams write for us and the songs we learn around the world. But when it says a new song, it's not talking about sit down, write a nice song, and then we'll sing it. It's more referring to a spontaneous response to the Lord. In the book of Ephesians, there is a verse that where Paul talks about singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, and he uses this phrase: psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Psalms are scripture songs. Hymns are the songs we write. They don't have to be 100 years old to qualify as a hymn. They're songs that we write. They could be written today. You know, John and Charles Wesley, the great Methodist leaders. John was the great preacher. Charles was the hymn writer. And the whole basis for the writing hymns. Apostles and their wives' epistles. Yeah, never mind. The whole reason for the writing hymns was to teach theology so that the people would sing truth. They would become that. I met with some of our worship team years ago, and I remember telling them, I asked them the question, I said, what do you want the church to look like in 10 years? Write songs about it now, and we'll sing our way into it. There's something happens when we capture the heart of God, the theme of God in a song. So when it talks about psalms, that's out of the scripture, hymns, that's something we write. Spiritual songs are the spontaneous. We don't sing them to be recorded. We don't sing them so that we can sing them to mom, send them to mom and show us how good we can do. You know, it's not a song that's for anyone else. It's for the audience of one. It's that which is honest. It's raw. It doesn't have to rhyme. You don't even have to carry a tune. It's beautiful. God likes the way you sing. Your neighbor may not, but God likes the way you sing, and that's all that matters. It's for the audience of one. And so that spontaneous song is an important part of our life as believers. And here's this, the spontaneous song is either a praise song to him. It can include intercessory prayer as well, as you'll see in scripture. But it's a spontaneous song of praise to him, or it's what we refer to in scripture as the song of the Lord. That's where the Lord himself is singing over people. And that would take on more of a prophetic type song where a message is given to a group of people. The reason I mention this as a spontaneous song is that all of us, probably all of us, most of us anyway, have a great desire to increase in our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, to be ready to do whatever he's doing. I want to just sense the heart of God in a matter. I want to move easily with him. I don't want him to have to hit me over the head with a 2x4 to get my attention so he can then direct me. You know, I don't want to portray him that way, but you get my point. Is there are some days at the end of the day, I look back and I go, man, I was so caught up on my agenda today that I missed all these opportunities that you opened up for me and I didn't even see them. And I don't like that. And so I want that continuous sensitivity to the voice of God, to the presence of God, so that he can just breathe slightly and I catch what he's saying, what he's doing. How do you stay in tune to that kind of lifestyle? I think there's two things you can do proactively to build that sense of awareness. The first one is to pray in tongues, pray a lot. Paul said he prayed more than all. And the word he used there is, I pray more than all of you combined. In other words, he was saying, listen, if you knew what I was going through, you'd understand why I pray in tongues all the time. And really, that was the whole case, is that spiritual language. It's learning to stay connected to the Holy Spirit. It's not something taking over our body. It's the willful use of a prayer language that God gives us. If you don't have, just ask him, because he's really generous with this gift. It goes to anyone who wants it. Just don't sweat to get it. It comes much easier. So this gift, this praying in the Spirit, is a huge part of our life. It's supposed to be a huge part of our life because it's the one gift given that is for us. All the other gifts are enabling us to serve well the people around us. But praying in the Spirit is something that edifies and strengthens us. What does it do? It connects me to the spontaneous because it bypasses my understanding. I don't know what I'm praying. After a while, you start praying in the Spirit, but you start picking up the kinds of areas that God is moving your heart in. You start discerning things. But what's happening is the Lord is training us how to live in the spontaneous, not so that we avoid reason, not so that we avoid understanding or intellectual approach to things. I think that's vital. I think we're supposed to have understanding of things. But it doesn't do me a whole lot of good to have great understanding and not hear his voice, not be able to be moved with the presence and the Spirit of God. So that's one. The second one is this spontaneous song. So you drive down the street and you just spontaneously sing out of whatever season you're in, whatever moment you're in. Maybe it's a crisis that you have going on. Maybe you've received a doctor's report that's really a bad report. You don't sing the report, you sing the answer to the report. You sing the solution. You sing the praises to God in the middle of it. You know, years ago, Dick Mills was such a dear friend of ours, and I remember he told us a story once. He said he was just really being harassed by the devil. It's just really one of those, you know, one of those extreme seasons in his life, an extreme moment. So he went into a room. He got two chairs. He had the chairs face each other, and Dick sat in one, and he said, "Satan, sit down. I'm going to praise God, and you're going to watch." I love that. I love that whole thing that, listen, in the middle of whatever's going on, I have determined to take what the enemy has meant for evil, and I'm going to use that as the fuel to exalt him in his greatness. Because there's not one problem that I am facing in life or could ever face that he has not already purchased the answer for. I don't come to God begging for breakthrough as though he needed to do something. He already took care of something. All I'm doing is aligning my heart to receive what he has already purchased and put in my account. And so this whole idea of singing a new song is huge. I love this portion of scripture, but it's possible for us to miss the context. And so I want you to go to verse 9 of Isaiah 42. Verse 9 says, "Behold, the former things have come to pass, the new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." Look at that verse again. "Behold, the former things have come to pass, the new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." Why is that important? Well, first of all, if you look at the previous chapter, it's just Israel's in a mess again. And they just got this, they got this bad habit of worshiping God one day and worshiping, you know, some false god another day. And so they got this spirit of dumb all over them, and they're doing the confused thing. And there's this cry, I think it's in there, if I remember right, I was glancing over it this morning. If I remember right, I think it's twice in chapter 41, they are basically asking the Lord to please do a new thing. Please do something new. Please, we're ready. Do something new. Anybody ready for God to do something new? We're ready for you to do something new. So here the Lord, in the first part of Isaiah 42, he sends the Messiah, the answer with breakthrough. If you read through the chapter, you see he's opening blind eyes. He comes in the Spirit of God. So here Jesus comes with this mantle of breakthrough. And now the Lord stands before the people and he says, all right, the old things are over. New things begin. His very next phrase, sing to the Lord a new song. Yeah. The new song brings the new day. It's not hard to write an inspirational piece after you won the lottery, after you won the Super Bowl, after some great dream of yours was fulfilled. You finally found the man or the woman of your dreams or whatever it might be. You finally were able to have a child and you couldn't. Those are wonderful. Write those songs. They need to be sung. Sing them, sit in your living room and sing those songs. But this one's different. This is Israel coming through hell, asking for a new day. And Jesus says, all right, the past is over. New things began. He says, all right, sing a new song. It's interesting. In Psalms 40, you guys doing all right, Peter? All right. I think it's Psalms 40. He says, sing to the Lord a new song. And the very next phrase says, and the earth will fear the Lord. That's a strange connection in subjects, you know. Sing to the Lord a new song, and there's going to be a whole bunch of people get saved. It's not like, let's get a stadium, fill it with 100,000 people, then we'll have Chris come up here and sing a new song, and then we'll have a lot of people saved. It's not saying that. It's not saying, let's get the worship team up here to sing some brand new prophetic song, a lot of people getting saved. He's not saying. He's talking about lifestyle in the living room, in your bathroom, driving your car. It's the song that nobody hears. But what's happening? Did you see what happens in response to verse 10? The Lord arouses himself as a man of war. So you're driving down the street and you get hit with this fear thing about the doctor's report or about some issue at work. They're laying off people. Oh no, what if I lose my job? You start having that stuff going on, but instead of yielding to the fear, you take the stuff that's been thrown at you, you use it as fuel, and it becomes the lyrics of a song, and you begin to sing the new song that actually brings about the new day. Why does it bring about the new day? Because in that new song, God himself stirs himself up as a man of war, and he comes and he destroys the powers that have been set against you for your destruction. That's why things change. How does that affect your neighbor? How does that affect the city? How does that affect the nation? It's easy. The Lord wreaks havoc on the powers of darkness that have influence over the thought life and value system of a community. So picture this. Here we are as the people of God spread all through the community, just throughout the day, continuously throughout the day, just lifting up the new song, the spontaneous song. God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that you are turning this into a city of great prosperity. We bless you for what you're doing, God. We thank you, Lord, that unemployment will be a thing of the past. We praise you, God, as the God of abundance, that you bring healing and cancer is being destroyed from our city. And you just take these things, you just begin to sing them. What happens? The Lord starts wreaking havoc on those powers of the air that have influence of the thought life. What happens? The people around you start having clear thoughts for the first time in their life. That's why people turn to the Lord, because they can see this is obvious. This is obvious. This one who gave himself for me is the only one with the right to rule my life. I had this little bout with sickness here recently, and I talked about it last Sunday night, so if you have any interest in it, I don't like replaying the story, but I think it's available online somewhere if you want to hear it. But I got to where I couldn't eat. I mean, I was sick. And I ended up having a surgical procedure, and I'm doing really good. My health is just returning. I'm eating meat, which is really the main thing. The main testimony is that things have died to keep me alive, and I'm okay with that. I'm all right with that. Totally all right with that. In fact, more things are going to die. So my strength is returning. This is my first Sunday back in the morning to actually speak. So, and I'm doing all three services, so we'll see how we do that. But I'm doing well. But just sick and doing so poorly, it was a gift to be able to sit at home in my recliner and just to read and just review the promises of God, to review the prophetic words over my life. And it's a regular part of my life, but I had extra time for it. And Benny and I would take communion most every day together, and we would just take communion and just give thanks for divine health. And it wasn't forced. It wasn't like, no, I don't want to, but I'm going to just grit it up by faith. No, there's something so rich in the presence of God that rests upon you. The peace that passes understanding comes to us when we don't demand to understand. And that comes upon you, there's such a grace in it to do right things and good things. And so we would share in communion, and I would pray over one of the elements, Benny would pray over the other. And this is just a regular part of our life. And I remember there came a point where I could no longer eat anything. In fact, I went 10 days without even drinking water. I couldn't drink anything. They just kept me plugged into intravenous feeding, which is, you can live a while on that. So that worked well for me. So, I couldn't take communion, but she would take it for me. And she would come next to the bed, and she would take, and we would pray together. And what we gave thanks for the most was just the divine health, the life that God had given us, the victory that He had given us. You know, you don't have to beg Him for what He already bought and paid for and put in your account. What you want to do is just condition your heart to celebrate what's there. And I have more questions than I've ever had, but as I've stated before, I will never sacrifice what I know about the goodness of God on the altar of human reasoning so that I have an explanation for why something happened. I don't need an explanation. I have a person who is with me. And there's something about facing difficulty and not losing your peace that actually annoys the devil to pieces. There's something about even experiencing loss or having things that go on that you just can't explain, you don't have a slot for. I don't need a slot for it. I have a person that I get to walk with. And there's something about becoming the people that just have said, this is the way I'm doing life. In any and every situation, I will give Him thanks. I will give Him praise. I will take the very weapons that the enemy uses against me, and much like David took Goliath's sword and cut off Goliath's head, so I will take the very things that the enemy has thrown my way, and they will become the lyrics of my offering of praise to God. God, I give You. I give You thanks for divine health. I give You thanks for abundance and breakthrough. We would just delight together in our family. Oh, you know, in those kinds of moments, and there's many of you, you've gone through things way worse than I've ever gone through. I get that. But this was a pretty big, challenging situation for me. I remember, you don't lay there not being able to eat or drink or function, really. You don't lay there wishing you would have written another book. You don't lay there thinking, oh, if I only would have preached in one more city, or if I would have gone to this nation. All you think about is family, friends. That's it. It's people. It's the gift of being able to serve Jesus with friends, with family. It's looking at my kids, my grandkids. It's just seeing the rich, rich life in God. It's real tough to get depressed when you see blessing everywhere you look. You know, it's just, you know, you can look at some things that are unsettled, unanswered, but they don't fuel me. They don't fuel me because I'm a singer of new songs. And a singer of new songs just takes the information that comes and gives it as an offering and celebrates and declares its greatness. I honestly have tried to live that for just as long as I can remember. But there are, you know, there are moments, there are things that happen to us that just are really tough. And it kind of challenges you at a new level. And so the Lord just kind of peels back the layer of that onion at another level, you know. And that's what happened for me this last couple months. But I'd like to say that the cool thing about this verse is that all my job was to give him praise. And he's the one who fought the battle. It's the most beautiful thing, because sometimes the Lord has you in a position where you rest. Sometimes he has you in a position where you fight. I talked about this more clearly last Sunday night. I believe in this. I believe the kingdom suffers violence, the violent take it by force. I believe in that. The prayer, the fasting, the yelling, the shouting, waving flags, shofar, pouring out oil, whatever you got. Any Christian toy you have that you think will work, let's use it. And let's get that thing going and let's just apprehend what's wrong and get it turned around, and I'm good. I'm good with all of it, you know. Get the trumpets blaring, and I mean, we've marched all over this property. We've marched up and down that street. We've waved the flags. We've had the horns. We've pulled oil. I go to my back door to my office, and there's oil dripping down the door. Somebody's been here just praying over. I don't know. I'm okay with it, though. I'm not offended. It's just there. It's just one of the things that we do. Use everything you have, but there are times where there's not a thing you can use that will bring about a change. The only thing you can do is sit down and give thanks. Let him do this one for you. And this is one of those verses. This is one of those moments where he says, it's the Lord who becomes the warrior. And all he did was respond to the brand new song of yielded heart that says, I'm going to take this about him and put it in praise. Why don't you stand? The most amazing thing happened. Jesus was perfect, no sin in thought, attitude, nothing. And yet he took upon himself the punishment that I deserve, that you deserve. Because everybody here, we all have sinned. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. And then the mercy of Jesus comes. And Jesus had you in mind. He had me in mind. And he bore punishment in his own flesh, so that we could actually receive what he deserved, which is life forever. And I know that anytime we have this many people in a room, there's always a high chance, high probability that we have people here that just, you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. You maybe attend church every week, I don't know. You maybe it's the first time you've been in a church. It matters not to me. The whole point is I believe the stage has been set for you to know what it is to be forgiven of sin and to step into eternal life. Know what it is to have God as your Father and to be changed from the inside. We can't make ourselves worthy. I can't jump through enough hoops to become clean before God. It's an impossible task. That's why Jesus died. If there was another way to get right before God, then he was cruel to require the death of his son. If there was another way. The only way Jesus died is because there was no other way. There's no other way. And that offer, his offering to you and to me, is present right here, right now. And I want to make sure that everybody in this place is able to leave today with the absolute confidence that, number one, I've been born again, I've been forgiven of sin, and God receives me into his family. And I want to start life all over again, brand new, because Jesus has forgiven me and come into my life. If that's you, if you have never surrendered your life, is a term we use, where we really give ourselves to the only one who has a right to rule our life, that's Jesus. You know, the crazy thing is he rules my life, and there's more freedom being ruled by him than there ever was doing what I wanted. It's like this stuff just doesn't make sense, but it does. And that's the point, is I want to give opportunity for everybody here to leave with certainty that Jesus really is your Father, Heavenly Father. He becomes the one who forgives you and receives you into the family that you are born again. If that's if you're in that place and you say, Bill, I don't want to leave till I know that's a reality for me, then I want you just to put your hand up. And I want to just see where you are. I want to make agreement with you right over here. I want to make that agreement with you that Jesus will come into your life. Yeah, beautiful. Anybody else? Put your hand up real quick. I'm just going to wait like a minute, so I'm not going to prolong this. But if there's anybody else, put your hand up real quick. I think we had four people in the first service this morning, which is wonderful. People that come to Christ say, I don't want to leave till I know that I'm right with God. Anyone else? Just real quick. Okay. All right. We've got a freedom banner. And if you would come down here, I've got people that I know and trust that will pray, love on you and pray for you. And this is going to be the change of the rest of your life starts today. Yeah. Amen. Beautiful. If there's anybody else that wants to join, come on down. Freedom banner people, come on down. All right. You still owe me 5 minutes, so don't get real antsy now. All right. That's the time right up there. You owe me five. That's the way I look at it. So if you didn't know you owed me, I'm letting you know. I'm just telling you. I want to pray over you because I believe there's a grace for a new song. I believe there's a grace. I believe there's a grace. And I really want to emphasize this strongly. Eric shared this story, a bizarre story again this week of a gal who quit singing as a child until she became a young adult, never sang at all because of a comment made to her about her voice when she was a small child. And it may be that we do want certain quality on the CDs that we buy and the radios that we listen to and the worship team, but that you sing to the Lord is priceless to Him in whatever form you bring it. And I want to pray for an anointing, literally an anointing of thought, an anointing on our life to bring the new song. You know why? Because I want to see you in a new day. It's the new song that brings the new day. It's the new song that's given as a continual offering to the Lord, that spontaneity that develops in our life for it to become enhanced and strengthened for every single person. I want to hear more and more stories about people who are just unusually led to do something not outside of their character, and yet they just believed God, and God provided that miracle. That's the lifestyle of a Holy Spirit-led believer. It's not apart from reason. It's just according to His reason. Yes, amen. All right. Put your hands in front of you, and let me just pray over you. Father, I do pray for a grace, a gift to be given for the new song, that even those who are not in any way musically inclined, that there would be just a musical anointing, a grace, a presence to sing new songs to you that shape the history of our life and actually impact and affect the city around us. Bring, almost like volcanically from within us, prophetically, new songs that create new days. Yes. We ask this for the honor of the name Jesus. Amen.